Very kingdom thoughts. It's yours free if you're a guest here today. If you're a regular member and you haven't got one and you're like, I gotta have that book, it's really going to be like one per family, and I'll get more. But it's just good stuff. I mean, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to change a culture. You know, I was born and raised here in Marion, and many of you have been the same. And it is no excuses. I mean, every place is different. All places, you know, God is God, and He never changes. But boy, don't the places and people. And you know, if you go down south, there's some wonderful, sweet people. Not saying there isn't any wonderful, sweet people up north, but you know, go down south, they're just like, "Hi, sugar. Would you want some? Well, you gonna get some sweet tea?" I mean, that's like you know, that's the beverage. You're going to get sweet tea. It's so sweet you could put it on your pancakes or something. You know, it's just real. And you go to up north, they're like, what do you have? but, you know, it's okay because, you know, God makes all kinds of people, and that's great. So the culture here is different than in other places. Marion's been a factory town most of my life growing up. Most of those factories have gone. Now it's kind of almost a bed and breakfast town. People that are in Columbus and Delaware, it's a little cheaper, obviously, here. And so they're commuting, because we're right by the interstate, and so we have, you know, all these different ingredients, so to speak, or different situations that are happening in town. So, you know, we're like, God, how do we affect the kingdom of God? How do we show them how wonderful you are and how much you love them? So we're doing everything in our power to do that. That's kind of why our tagline is Live Life on Purpose. That's why, you know, I went after getting something that is something, you don't wear your t-shirt 24/7 or 7 days. I mean, you can, but probably that's why you're alone, right? I mean, you need to change that sometimes. But still, just ways that you can be like, I need to look at something different. I need to change my thoughts on how I viewed something. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So without any, let's welcome our guests. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. I'm the pastor here. If you're new, most people call me PB for Pastor Brett. My wife is PK for Pastor Kim, and she's down there in the front. She plays the keyboard, and I play the radio. And so, now that you know all of that stuff, I want to start this series called Living Whole. And they have a picture. Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, I like that. They said, hey, what do you think of this? I like it because it's puzzle pieces. And you know, how many have done puzzles? You ever, you know, we do those around the holidays. We pick a puzzle and then we set it on the table, and you know, you'll just find yourself, even if you don't want to do puzzles, you'll walk by and go. Or you'll stop and then you'll be like, I will find this piece, or where this goes, and all of that. And sometimes walking in the kingdom, God's not playing hide and seek. He wants you to know, but because of our own trained mind, we are like, there's got to be a piece of the puzzle that's missing. I'm not catching. So living whole, how many want to live whole? You know what that means? Not just prosperity. I mean, everybody wants to. Who doesn't want? Yeah, I want all what I need, all my bills paid, be able to help as many people. Yeah, that's great. But I'm talking about living whole health-wise. I mean, just being healthy. Just being like, man, I don't ache. I don't hurt. And, you know, people were like, oh, you look good for your age, you know, or whatever. And all of those kind of things, not just even health, but how about mind? How about my mind is healthy? I think healthy. I am healthy. The things I do are healthy. The people I hang out with, they are healthy. And the words I speak, they are healthy. So we want to live whole. So that's kind of where he's brought me to this thing. So I'm kind of stoked. And so if I get real excited, that's because I'm stoked. There's people that are listening today right now, and even those that are online in all different states, they're saying, I need a healing. Because if we were to ask, you know, what do you need? There's so many people, I need this healed. I need this healed. This needs to heal. Whether some might not even be a pain in your body, could be a relationship, but most generally, it's something with your body. I need this healed. That's what's on our minds all the time. I just need this. And I'm telling you, Kim and I have lived it. Isn't it hard to go about your day and somebody else can be like, oh, just don't pay attention to it. My mom is here today. She's sitting back there. Hello, mother. She would put stuff, any scratch I ever got, She would put, they might as well bottle this stuff and just call it devil's spit. It was called methylate. Have you ever had it? If you didn't have any cussing problem, you'd fight it. She'd be like, I'm going to put this on there. It's going to be all better. And I mean, the first time you'd try, okay, sure, go ahead, Mom. And she would say, count to 10 and back again. She would always say that. Just don't pay attention to it, and it won't hurt. She worked for an orthodontist or a dentist one time, and she said, we don't like to use Novocaine. If you watch what he's doing, it won't hurt when he drills your teeth. That doesn't work, Mom. That's not good. True story. We're in the waiting room. Kim's getting her teeth done. Something, you know, she's doing something anyway. And this is what he told me, so this is what he told her. He goes, now, if there's pain, just wave, and I'll stop. That's what he told me. So I'm done. I'm sitting out in the waiting room. They swing the door open, one of his helpers, and Kim's in the chair, and she's going like this. I think she's waving at me. I'm going, hi, honey. She's trying to tell him, hey, crazy, quit. Okay, so let me jump on to what I'm talking about. That's what's on your mind. If you got something that's in pain, it's hard to go on to where you're going because you are concentrated on that. Amen? And the enemy likes to use those kind of things because in the natural world, those things can dominate you if you don't let your spiritual part overtake that. And that's not so easy to do sometimes because when you're in pain, you're in pain. And I'm not diminishing that, and I'm not saying that just because you say something that it goes away, it is sometimes it's just a process and you walk it out. And you have to talk to the mountain. How many know you can tell, don't tell God about your mountain. He already knows. Tell your mountain about your God. And we get that mixed up. And so sometimes we wonder why things aren't happening. And somewhere along the way, we've missed a puzzle piece. I want to live whole. So many people need a healing. But this is what happens. We're afraid to trust God. We want a healing, but we won't trust him in everything, especially our finances. Now, we've got the doors locked. You can't leave. We don't have the doors locked. But you know, there's been times in my life where I have had my own plan. And I'm still, you know, I was dealing with stuff, dealing with different physical pains or whatever, you know, that some of that happens. So there's been times I've had no pain. That's awesome, but there's still, life comes at you hard, doesn't it? There's different things. Maybe it's one of your kids, and you're just like, oh, man. And you're trying to cast that. We could be professional casters. We should be fishermen, you know, and we should be fishermen. But just casting that to the Lord. Oh, God, you got to, you know. But instead of telling God, he knows, we start speaking life and telling the mountain to move. Anyway, we wouldn't dare to give everything away. If the Lord told you to do that, you would be like, he's told us to do that before, and we've been like, no. He's told me, I need you to give that whole thing away. No, I'd say that's not you. Or I need you to give this much. You know? No. You see all that in your savings? I need you to do that. That and this or that. And we've been, God, that can't be you. Now, and again, we talked about it before. The enemy can try to lie to you and make you do something that you shouldn't be doing. I mean, if your mortgage is due the next day, if God told you to give away, that's one thing, and then he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I get that. But if he didn't tell you and you're not sure, don't do it. You have to be led by peace. Amen? Don't let somebody manipulate you into giving something away. I'm not here to try. I'm just here to explain. I want to live whole. But we've been there. We've done that. Why are we afraid if God would say, I need you to do this? And here's why. This is why I was. I'm assuming this could be something that would help you. Because my faith and belief wasn't in God's system, it was in the world system. Because that's all I knew. That's all I trusted. I really didn't understand the kingdom, and the only thing I knew was, I owe, it's off to work I go. But listen to me. I'm getting us somewhere. But I want to believe in a healing. Now, don't get mad. Just listen with an open heart. Trusting God for finances is not really nearly as important as trusting God for healing. You can't buy a healing, can you? Can you buy God? You know, when we sow a seed, people, isn't that like buying God? No, we're not. How can we buy God? There are billionaires that are dying because they can't buy a healing. Healing is more important than finances. If you're gone, you don't have anything to pay. You know what I'm saying? But you need, okay, God, I need healed. Maybe it's just your mindset. Maybe there's so many things that have happened. It's just very hard. You're bitter. You're hurt. The Bible says finances, listen to what the Bible says, is the least when it comes to trusting God. I'm like, what? It is the least. If I can't trust him in my finances, how am I trusting him to help me to walk healthy and whole? Is he Lord of all or is he not Lord at all? We need to trust him. Can you picture a miracle? Can you see it happening in your life if you're having issues? I mean, I've just really come through some stuff where I don't even know what happened. My hip was just miserable pain. And I don't know what I did to make that happen. I started speaking to my hip. And I would have loved to tell you, I'd love to sit here and say, it just went boing and it was gone. No. I had to walk that thing, I don't know how many, couple months, a month and a half. I have been, you know, and it's like the enemy tries to put that symptom back on, but it would be, I couldn't hardly get out of the car. I was walking just like, you know, and I mean, here on Sunday, it was all I could do to disguise my walk to come up those steps. Really, my knees, my hip, and I'm like, but you know what? I just continually spoke to them. Did I ever have weak point spots and where I'm like, yeah. And she would agree with me and she, you know, would say, I'm believing with you. And you go, well, Pastor, you didn't tell us. Right. Because I'm not going to give the enemy that kind of credit. I'm not going to stop what God has called me to do to stop and say, hey, can I give you directions, devil? No, I'll give him directions. He already knows where he's going. God is a good God. And he wants all of us to prosper and be in good health. Can you see yourself in good health? Can you see yourself walking? Can you see yourself not having any issue? Can you see yourself, you know, if right now you know what I'm seeing myself? I'm seeing myself thinner. I've been there before. I get to go there again. But it's okay. I'll get there because I got a plan and I got a strategy. It's just up to me now to stick to it. 3 John 1, 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in, what does the next thing say? All things. And be in health just as your soul prospers. All here means, guess what? All. All things. God wants you to prosper more than you want to prosper. But we block it through doubt and fear. And we've opened the door to that. Because some of us, that's all we know. You know, ever have anybody say, well, you take one step forward and 4 or 5 steps back. Or it's always something. Or you never know what the one shoe drops, just wait for the other one. From doing karate matches, I got 3 different belts and 3 different styles of karate, and so I love to fight in tournaments. And I had broke my Achilles tendon on this heel, my left heel, just snapped it off. And so my foot wasn't attached, so it just would go like that. So, you know, if I wanted to go up on my toes, I couldn't, not on my left. I couldn't because there was nothing there that provided me to do that. And when I remember being in there and there, one of the doctors said, well, if this happened to your left one, you can expect it to happen to your right one. And I remember I told him, this is before they put me out. You ever wonder why the anesthesiologist, you can't understand. What time ago? Whatever. Anyway, it's another story. But I just said, no, I break that. I said, my right foot is fine. And the guy goes, okay. Like, because the way I guess I said it, I must have been a little more aggressive when I said it. But But he's like, okay. And I've never had any issue with my right one, but it got repaired. But we got to get ourselves in that place where we're not going to allow the enemy to dictate how things are supposed to be for us. Are you going to give him that kind of place in your life? Is he going to be able to tell you, you're going to be afraid, you're going to be sick, you're going to be broke, you're going to be busted and disgusted? You need to tell that enemy just to shut up. We got to take steps of faith. And it starts, listen to me, some of you won't like this, but it's true. It starts with your finances. If finances is the least, just start trusting God. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches. It's not your riches, his. I want to talk to you about your imagination. What do you see? What do you imagine? It's so powerful in the Bible that, do you understand back in the Tower of Babel, God had to stop them because their imagination was so great. He was like, "We didn't." That's why they all had to speak something they couldn't understand each other. Because it was just incredible. Most references about imagination in the Word are negative. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it's basically talking about all the bad stuff. It's just giving you a negative. You got to pull these things down. I get it. But I don't want to give the enemy, like I said, too much credit. I don't want to give him power. Because I have to get, you know what I'm saying? You want him to do something, you have to give it to him. We blow him way out of proportion. We yell things like this. I bind you, devil. I'm not saying you can't yell that. I'm not saying you can't say that. I think it's good to bind. It's good to loose. It's in the Bible. But sometimes we do it and we are like, ah. We do it almost out of fear. I'd rather you do it than not do it if you need to do it. But you got to know whose name you're coming in when you're doing it. But we know he's seeking who he may devour. It doesn't say he can't, who he may. And his power is lies. Deception. Just tells you lies. He's already defeated. Now, I'm not saying he's not real. I believe the devil is real. I believe he does exist. But he doesn't, listen to me, he doesn't have the power to make you sick unless you believe it. You have to give him permission. He has to have your cooperation to do anything. Brett, I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. It found me. Did you resist? James says, if you resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. But did you resist? Have you thought things like this? I'm only human. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've thought things like this. It's incurable. The doctor says I'm not going to make it, or whatever your report is. Whose report will you believe? If you think things like that or you say things like that, I break those. But if you do, you are cooperating with the enemy. The Bible says, Psalm 91:10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. It goes on in 91:11. It says, I will say of the Lord. Everybody say, say. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. You have to say it. Faith in the power of God is voice activated, and so is the enemy. Doubt, unbelief is voice activated. God created heavens and the earth by words. He spoke and it was. We all know that in Genesis. Let there be light, God says, and things just start happening. Do you understand that germs and viruses that are around today, they respond to words too because they were created by words? You have to speak words. We can't go around like Charlie Brown. Oh, why is everybody always picking on me with a chip on our shoulder? I never get a break. Nobody ever cares. I'll never win. You can keep saying that, and that's why you're still where you are. If you believe you're powerless, you believe, you know, you just are just dominated by unbelief. That's not from God. It's from the enemy. Unbelief is from the enemy. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Isn't that true? Without Jesus, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. I mean, we're just nothing. We need Jesus, absolutely. But here's the great thing. I'm never without Jesus. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So in myself, I am nothing. But in Christ, I'm awesome. I can prove there's a God. I just have to go sit by the lady in the front row. That's why I tell people all the time, are you a believer? I'm a believer. Look. Oh, yeah. That's only because she's beautiful and how did I get her? You know, that's kind of, that was the, okay. But if I'm going by what I'm saying, I was so handsome she couldn't resist me. She finally caught me and I finally said yes. Yeah, you're over here. Okay. That's good. The moment we start saying, God, I'm powerless, I can't do anything, and I'm worthless, or the doctor says this, there's nothing anyone can do. When we start speaking like that, we are cooperating with the enemy. And I understand. But we're believing his lies. We're believing sickness and disease. Those are lies. You might say, Brett, I don't have anything to do with that. Just understand this. Satan cannot do anything without your consent or cooperation. Somewhere along the line, we've believed a lie. Maybe, well, it's been in the family for years. This has happened, this father and that father and this or this mother, this and that. And this is what has been ran rampant in the family for years. Are you getting in agreement with that? You can't accept that because that's what your future is if that's the way you want to speak it. But it's a new day now. We walk in the fullness of God. No plague, the Bible says, can come near my dwelling. Do you believe that? We got to start believing what the Word says. It can't come near. And if it did, then did I open a door in my unbelief? If I did, I'm shutting it. How many are with me? I'm shutting it. Now, I'm not saying there's, if you're like, well, you know, I needed to take this. There's nothing wrong. God created doctors. God created medicine. I'm not telling you to do anything that you shouldn't be doing. I'm just saying do what God wants you to do. My point is this. Devil and demons do exist, but they need you to cooperate with them for them to do anything. And the kingdom works that way too. Remember the demon-possessed man who was full of demons, and they said their name was Legion? Jesus came in, and they said, cast us into the pigs. Why? Here we go. A pig has more authority than the devil. The devil doesn't even have a physical body. Only people with physical bodies can have authority in this earth. Satan has to gain some kind of cooperation. Let's be honest. If the enemy had his way, every one of us in here would have some incurable disease. We would all be sick or something. Nobody could stay alive and be well. But he can't do that. Why? Because he has to have cooperation. Anyway, if you don't know what to do, you got to start believing the Word of God. That's your answer. Jesus, the Word of God. Start believing God. Start renewing your mind. Take authority over what's happening, what's facing you. Speak to that mountain. Command it to leave by the authority Christ gave you. What are you facing? One time I was ministering deliverance to someone, and they said, this is what they said. They said to this person that was needing deliverance, what is your name? Now, I didn't feel to do that because, number one, who is the father of lies? Do you think he's going to tell you the truth? There's a good chance he's probably not. Unless there's an anointing to force him to tell, you know, I mean, Jesus is like, what is your name? And if Jesus told you to ask, then ask. So this is what, I forget what they said. They said something, but that wasn't what was going on. And so that person immediately started saying, you spirit of, and I forget what it was. It was just something. I think it was cheating or something like that. And so they started yelling, "You cheating spirit, you come out in Jesus' name." That demon inside that person just laughed. And the Lord, I'm just sitting there, and this is what I did. You ever look in the Bible? The Bible says this, has a word in there. If you ever read it, it says Selah. You know what that means? That means just kind of step back a second and just check it out. The Lord spoke to me right away and said, "That's a lie. You need to deal with rage and anger." So I just stepped up and I said, "We're not doing that." Rage, and man, I said rage, that person went just contorted like that. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I didn't have to yell, didn't have to, and that person screamed and yelled, and then, and we went to whatever the Lord said, and within about 15 minutes, totally free. Now, my point is this: cooperation. I'm going to cooperate with God. They were cooperating with the other side, but God is greater. Amen? Our spiritual weapons are used to cast down imaginations. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Many people just think they can think whatever they want. They don't think you can keep your mind on God. It's impossible. Isaiah 26:3 says this. I love this one. "You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's talking about your imagination. The word of God can paint you a picture of victory and authority, and you can win over the enemy. You can keep your mind at peace if your mind is stayed on him. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. Anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Listen, the just, they don't just visit there. They don't just vacation there. The just live there. They say, "God, you are my refuge. You are my everything." They live by faith. It is not just a part-time position for them. It is what they do. It is who they are. You can bring every thought into obedience. Now, you can't always stop it from coming because the enemy shoots those at you. I get that. But you can tell it where to go once it gets there. I like telling the devil where to go. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from nesting in your hair or pooping on it. I'm saying. So negative thoughts will come. We live in a fallen world. I get it. But you can take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Most of us as believers, we think that's not even possible. And that is why we're having issues. Even if you think it's possible, you still have to be on guard. Think about what we pay. We pay willingly to get pumped into us from the TV or whatever we do. On our computers in our hand. I mean, and we wonder why we struggle. Soap operas. I used to go to, my grandma's house. My grandma would be like, "I don't watch those soap operas." I'd go over and there'd be a soap opera on every time. And I'd say, "Grandma." And she'd say, "Yeah." And I'd say, "Well, who's that guy?" "Oh, I don't watch those." "Well, that's Ken, and he's married to her, and you know, she just went through this whole scenario." And I'm like, you don't watch it?" "No, I don't watch any of that." "Oh, look, here comes," and you know, she would say whatever. I tell you what, I can give you a lot more hope than Ryan. Jesus will give you all the hope that you need. You got to believe it's possible. If you think it's impossible, you're going to say to yourself, "Why even try?" If you want to say that, you are cooperating with the enemy. And he is going to use that to his advantage. And I have done that before. It's impossible. I'm just human. I'm only a guy. Ever wonder why Adam and Eve lived to be over 900? Man, I like that. I'm 63. I got a long life to be left. 63. But why'd they live over 900? Because nobody ever showed them how to be sick. Nobody ever went up to him and said, "Did you get your flu shots? Flu season." You need to get your injections because it's a new, you know, you have to have your whatever the things are for COVID garbage. Did I say garbage? I did. Nobody gave them black balloons when they hit 40. Nobody told them, hey, you're over the hill, you need Depends. They didn't know what a midlife crisis was, and nobody ever showed them what a tube of Preparation H was either. It took over 900 years to convince them how to die. But in the world we live in today, we've been taught that. Our news is always negative. Most of it's not truthful. We've been taught how to speak death. We've been taught how to expect it. We are cooperating, if we're not careful, with the enemy. But God didn't make you to be sick. He didn't put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. Isaiah 53:3, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Most Christians are prepared for sickness and defeat. The imagination is so powerful. I'm rethinking. God, help me to see things differently. According to the dictionary, the definition of imagination is the ability to see what isn't real or present. The ability to see what isn't real or present. Romans 8:24-25, we're saved in this hope, but hope that seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope is seeing something you can't see, which is the definition I just read of imagination. So I believe when we refer to hope in the New Testament, or basically whether, I guess it could be new or old if it's talking, but mostly in the new, the Bible's definition of imagination is hope. Most scripture, negative or imagination, in the positive way is referred to as hope. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Substance is talking about something that's tangible and real. Faith gives substance, tangibility to things hoped for. That's talking about what you can imagine. If you don't have it in your imagination, faith doesn't have anything to give substance to. That's why God told Abraham, if you remember even in the Old Testament, here's a picture. See the stars? See the sand? Hope. Do you see yourself well? Do you see yourself prosperous? Do you see yourself out of debt? Do you see yourself being generous on every occasion? Because this is where it starts. It starts, listen, if finances is the least, it starts there. Because if you have to hang on to everything, isn't that what the earth teaches? Hoarding? Put it in a can, sit on the can, get all you can. But if God says, let me meet your needs, let me supply all that you need and more than you could ask or think. What? Could you hope for something different than what you've had so far? Could you use your imagination to go, this is a new day? 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I mean, this is powerful. It's sandwiched between faith and love. It's a triple threat. If people ask if they're believing God for healing, they need hope. But if they answer, I hope so, they're not really believing, are they? Hope isn't the end result, but a necessary step along the way. Let me show you what I'm talking about. This backwoodsman, he goes to a church, and it's hot. It's like one of the August days we had a couple weeks ago. It's hot. And they're inside the church. He lives way out in the boonies. Nobody's out there with him. And it gets real hot in the sanctuary, and the usher goes over, and he notices sees a little circle on the wall, and he turns it. And he hears something kick on, and cold air is blowing out. And he's like, wow. So after the service, he goes up to the usher, and he says, what is that thing you turned? The usher says, well, that's a thermostat. He said, can anybody get one? He said, sure. Just go down to the hardware store and get it. So he goes down to the hardware store, and he buys him a thermostat, goes out to his cabin, sticks it on the wall. His cabin's hot, so he goes over, turns it down. Nothing happens. The thermostat, that's the end of the story, by the way. The thermostat doesn't blow the cold air. It controls the power or the air conditioner. You understand? It doesn't blow the cold air. It's the one, it controls it. Without the thermostat, the power unit doesn't work. It needs both of those together, the thermostat and the conditioner. It controls, tells the air conditioner to turn on. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is powerful, but hope activates faith. When you can imagine it, you are taking your thermostat and saying, I can see this. Because you're hoping that. And faith says, because you can see it, I can activate that. I can get that turned on. Once you get hope, meditate on something God has promised you, and then you see it. Once that happens, faith kicks in. Faith will give the hope substance, and it'll begin to get past your thoughts, and it'll take form in the natural. You'll start seeing things happen. It will bring the evidence. Faith will bring the evidence. Hope and faith. Say amen. Now, I was believing God for that Toyota 4Runner, but I wasn't sure, so I went and test drove a RAV4 and a Toyota 4Runner. Because my wife was like, well, you need to be specific, because I just wasn't. I was just like, I don't care. I kind of did, but, you know, you ever just like, I want to be more general, so that way I won't feel bad if, am I the only one that thinks like that? I'm not saying that's good thinking. That's stinking thinking, and I'm changing that. But she was on me saying, you know, you need to go. And so I do. I test drove. But as soon as I test drove, I'm like, okay, I want the 4Runner. Now, you know, the beauty of that. So for some people think that this, God gives you something that has no sorrow with it. I don't have any sorrow or anything with it. I just put brakes all around that 4Runner that I wished I didn't have to do. But he provides for all my needs. So, you know, I'm still, I got a 4Runner with no payment. I believe that. I said that. I imagined it. I put it where I could see it because I believe that's what he was like. Just tell me. And it's sitting in my house right now. Some of us are even afraid to conceive something. And fear isn't from God. Enemy can get you to buy the thought of fear, depression, whatever. If you cooperate with him, that's what you get. And then you won't get your promise by faith because you've cooperated with the enemy. You'll lose your hope, and without that, faith can't manifest. You have to see yourself the victor and not the victim. And sometimes that's a fight. You might have to stay there for a little while till you get the victory in your mind, in your imagination. What can you see? What are you saying? 18:21 of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. You have the power to make things different. Most of us use it to put ourselves under. We kill ourselves with our mouth. We get hung by the tongue. We start out good in church. It's easy to be good in church. It's when we get out there, and then you get that bill or the collector calling, and you're like, ah. But you got to start doing what the Lord wants you to do. You've got to start imagining and believing and sowing and being obedient in your giving. Speak the word. Don't approach God like a beggar. The moment you do, you're cooperating with the enemy. You don't have to beg God for stuff you already have. My kids don't come into my house and go, Daddy, please give me some milk and food. All they have to do is go get it. It's already there. If they don't go get it, whose fault is that? That's their own. If I've already provided for it, you just have to go get it. Just open the refrigerator. Get what you want. Break the words that you've said that weren't godly. Take your authority, claim your healing, and start living whole. Part of that's just, I mean, big part of it is just in our mind, our imagination, what we see. They're going to put on some altar music for me, and I want you just to think about what you've been thinking about. I mean, what's the biggest mountain in front of you? I know for me, there's all kinds. There may be several. There's a story of a lady that used to complain about her neighbors. She'd see them put their laundry out on the line, and she'd just say, the sheets are so dirty. Why? I would be embarrassed to do that. I would never do that. That's terrible. And just make judgments and stuff. And finally, the husband went and cleaned her window. The dirt was all on the window. What are you looking through? Look through the Word. That's what I want you to do. God. The Bible says, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That means they're a covenant, they're a believer, and the word of their testimony. You know, there's something in this book for everything you need. Find out what that word is. Get it inside you. Put it on your phone. Put it on your dash of your car. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror when you're shaving or, well, if you're a guy. You know, or whatever. You know, I mean, just put it where you can see it and say it out loud. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And when you start saying it, just get it inside you. Just start saying, okay. You know, I told you Kim and I would go and we would go into model homes and just sit there and ask them, can we just sit here for a few minutes? They didn't care. Oh, sure, go ahead. We had, you know, we did that a couple times and they asked why. Imagination. So that we could see ourselves one day in a house that she wanted, in a house that she was like, I love that. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. Because we had to yield certain things. We had to be like, okay, what are my stopping blocks? What am I cooperating with that's holding this up? I want to live whole. Starts with your finances and your brain. What system do you trust? I told you the one story of, you know, I trust, that's all I knew. That's all we all know is the world system. I took $10 out and I just threw it down. And before I left, some wonderful old gentleman came up, shook my hand, had $10 in his hand. I don't even know where he sat. I don't know how. I'm sure he saw me because I wasn't trying to hide it because I was mad. I didn't want to give $10. And he whispered in my ear. He grabbed my hand, pulled me in. He said, the Lord wanted me to tell you, as quick as you can get rid of it, I can get back to you. And it was $10. I don't think he could tell how much I put in. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, how do you know that? So it made me start thinking about things. It made me like, why did that happen? Is there something behind that? Those stories I tell you, I don't make them up. I got to start asking myself, how did that happen? How can I repeat that? How can I make that happen again? It really lies in obedience to Christ. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Father, in the name